I'm going to shift here to a piece I wrote earlier today, guys. If you haven't seen this, it's just published a couple hours ago. It's on thelastamericanvagabond.com. And I titled it, "Has an Anti-Science Sentiment Overtaken the United States?" And this is because, as we've talked about on the show, and as I'm sure our listeners have seen or noticed, that the mainstream has really pushed this idea that we are witnessing the growth of an anti-science sentiment, and they're calling it an infodemic, when people are overwhelmed with so much information, good information, bad information, disinformation, they just don't know what to do. And I searched Anti-Science America, and these are some of the headlines. Anti-science attitudes are killing Americans. How do we reverse the tide of an anti-science America? Anthony Fauci warns of anti-science bias being a big problem. Years of anti-science sentiment has left America in a terrifying predicament. And, you know, it goes on from there. And you can see this messaging being repeated in the mainstream over and over, that we're in the middle of an anti-science. One of the biggest proponents of this is Dr. Peter Hotez, who we've talked about on this show. He's the dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine. He's also from Baylor College of Medicine. He's worked with Bill Gates on different projects before. And I found a paper from him from earlier this year called "Combating Anti-Science: Are We Preparing for the 2020s? And this is what he wrote. "I loosely define an anti-science movement as an organized and funded rejection of science and scientific principles and methods in favor of alternative views, often linked to the targeting and harassment of individual scientists." So according to his definition, this is a very specific group that he says is organized and funded, that rejects the scientific method and principles, and apparently likes to harass scientists. Wikipedia defines anti-science as, quote, "a philosophy or a way of understanding the world that rejects science and the scientific method." And it says that science deniers do not accept science as an objective method that can generate universal knowledge. So according to Dr. Peter Hotez and Wikipedia, to be considered anti-science, one would need to reject the scientific method and principles and science altogether. Also, rejecting objective knowledge and harassing scientists is apparently a must. And so I just kind of go into this whole thing, and the anti-science sort of label, it is thrown on people more recently because of COVID. You're a COVID denier, you're a COVID idiot, you're, you know, anti-lockdown, whatever, all these different things. That's what they're saying. Well, people, they're science deniers. They're anti-science. You know, they just believe these alternative theories. They don't want to believe the official lab coats. They don't want to believe the CDC, et cetera. And then they say the same thing about vaccines. They say these are the two main areas, vaccine skepticism, and that anti-science sentiment has led to a anti-science sentiment when it comes to COVID and other related topics. So I go through here and I look at vaccine hesitancy and discuss why it's not inherently anti-science. In fact, it's people, parents and researchers and activists and journalists who are asking questions and who are in fact interviewing researchers, scientists and doctors who have raised the scattered few who are brave enough to raise various questions, including Dr. William Thompson, that I know me and Micah talked way back in 2014 when it was first exposed that there was a CDC whistleblower. Dr. William Thompson came out and handed hundreds of thousands of papers, documents over to Congressman William Posey's office about a study he was involved in September 2002, where he said they, quote, "fudged the numbers to change the amount of numbers, to change the relationship that showed that there was a higher incidence of autism-like responses in young black boys." And so he came out and spoke that was spoken on the congressional floor. But of course, the corporate media and scientific community are either unaware or uninterested, and nothing has happened since that time. There have been no investigations. And if anybody brings this up, well, you're probably going to be called anti-science, anti-vaxxer. Then I go on to discuss the fact that we've been covering on the show, and I've written some articles about the federal lawsuit related to fluoride, water fluoridation, the now conclusive evidence that fluoride is a neurotoxicant. You know, in the trial, Danish environmental epidemiologist Dr. Philip Grangene said that he was threatened for his work on fluoride, and specifically said that the fluoride lobby had infiltrated the World Health Organization committee seeking to exclude any mention of harmful effects of fluoride. And this researcher, this Dr. Philip Grangene, is involved in one of the more recent and better studies showing developmental neurotoxicity is a serious human health risk associated with fluoride exposure. And yet this is another area where there's silence or there's attacking for people who question this. They assume you don't understand science. You don't know how to do research. You just believe wacko conspiracy theories. And then the same thing, here we are, COVID-19. We've talked about case numbers. We've talked about the PCR test. We've talked about the lockdowns. We've talked about the masks, and showing that is a fact, whether or not you want to agree with the opinions and the research or not. It is a fact. It's not just opinions, it's research, that there are credentialed doctors and scientists from around the world who are questioning the COVID narrative, who are questioning the lockdowns and whether they're effective, who are questioning the masks and whether they're effective, who are questioning the tests and the case numbers. It is not simply a bunch of crazy weirdos on YouTube. This is a global movement of credentialed people in lab coats, you know, from different organizations that are questioning Public Health England, World Health Organization, the CDC, and they are not simply anti-science. And so I kind of end with this, that a blog from Scientific American made, a great point. It talked about being anti-science, and it says, quote, "People's relationship with science is much more complex and nuanced than pro-science or anti-science. We need to correct some of the misconceptions we have and show that what is often labeled as anti-science or science denial is often better understood as motivated bias." So they still say, well, these people are just having their bias. But I think that we need to think about this and go deeper, because I know that every person I've interviewed or talked to who questions vaccines, water fluoridation, and COVID-19, these are people that embrace science and the scientific method, but they question corporate-funded science, conflicts of interest, and scientism, which is that almost religious reverence for science that basically says the field of science is, you know, incapable of corruption. And I just find that interesting that the crowd that is doing the throwing around the label of anti-science seem to be the ones that are rejecting the science from the, you know, the opposing argument, because it doesn't fit their narrative. And they're like, oh, no, not those scientists, not those doctors, not those journals. And, you know, I just felt like this was an important conversation to have, because this America, they had to have a March for Science a couple of years ago, guys, because they think it's that bad that Americans are just, we're denying climate change, we're denying how safe vaccines are, fluoride, and now we're denying COVID-19. You know, it's the end of America. So I didn't mean to just sort of hog the mic here for a moment, but what do you guys think about this general conversation?
Man, it's been a back and forth battle against knowledge from the beginning, you know? So yeah, if they want to label some people as anti for their views, and, you know, I could get attacking scientists or, you know, something like that being considered anti-science or defacing scientific textbooks or blowing up science museums. But, you know, just to argue that people are anti-science because of a nuanced position on something, I don't think that's clear. Maybe what they may, in some cases, let's just pretend that there's some obvious science that says something and they just resist it. Maybe they don't understand the scientific method, the details of the science. I don't know. I think there's, like you said, it's nuanced. And nobody, you know, a lot of people don't understand science, and then they don't do philosophy of science to see how science serves different things. You know, if you're coming to knowledge, you could be coming to all kinds of different knowledge of different aspects. You know, geology is definitely different than chemistry. Chemistry says everything's chemicals. Physics says everything's energy. Oh, one of them's wrong. No, it's just a different understanding of these terms within each discipline. So I think this is politically motivated rhetoric to label a group of people anti-science or anti-anything like this, because these people didn't pick this name themselves. They didn't go, we're the anti-science crowd.
It should really be called anti-mainstream science. I mean, that's what, like, kind of like what it is, because I think it's kind of hilarious. People have this idea of a scientific consensus, and that's always what you hear, but, like, who are these, like, you know, golden consensors, and, like, you know, like, where are these people that are, like, is it this one set group of people that you approve of? You know what I'm saying? So I just think it's unscientific to think like that. And it's crazy.
Well, you know, think about sciences that are easily understood, like geology. How's geology work? Well, they have ways of measuring rocks and crystals, right? They measure different things, hardness, for example. And so, you know, obviously diamonds cut glass, but they talc doesn't, right? And these different ways of narrowing down. And then they're just human classification systems at the end of the day. We call this talc because it has these properties. And guess what? Everybody else can do those same tests. That's what science is supposed to do, right? Everybody else can replicate what you've come to understand. That was the power of science in dispelling false knowledge, you know, belief that was erroneous. And now it sounds like some people, they just want things that aren't proven all the way to just be accepted as fact. And that's always going to be a battle. It's always been a battle in science itself. So it's not these people, some may be anti-science, but just because you don't believe a theory, it doesn't necessarily make you anti-science.
Yeah, and I made that point in the article that, like, look, spending time around the – I like to use the word vaccine skeptic community. I think that's a better descriptor. It doesn't have the sort of negative connotation of anti-vaxxer. But spending time around the vaccine skeptic community and people who are skeptical – I mean, I could have – this list that I did here, all I did was focus on fluoride vaccines and COVID-19 and put, like, a couple of brief examples. We also could have talked about how scientists have pushed for glyphosate, you know, and said that glyphosate was safe, and, you know, the Monsanto industry funded science and all that. I mean, there's just so many examples that I think it is important, like Johnny said, whether you call it mainstream science or just corporate science, that science is not, you know, infallible. It's constantly holy. Theory that's not evolving. Kind of
like uncorruptible entity. I don't understand. Like, I don't, and the weird shift for me is that so many people understood the true problems with big pharma and their amount of funding and influence. And then as soon as this crisis hit, everyone started acting like, oh, well, going against these same people funding these same things is anti-science. All of a sudden, like, the same companies that we've been, you know, showing commercials in the middle of the night with, like, 5,000 side effects for a headache medicine, those same people are making the vaccines, and we're calling other people opposing that or questioning that anti-science. And it's like, no, they clearly have profit motives. There's clearly reasons that, you know, other reasons besides health and other reasons besides science to even question vaccines.
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are kind of interesting, and I think they're mainly two points. One, think of the things that have been taken as knowledge in the past, and, you know, think of absurd things that have been taken as knowledge, like phrenology from the Nazis. The study of their skull would let them know deviant races, and there was something wrong with these people. See, their science proved what they wanted to see, okay? And then you got to step back to the science isn't like deductive reason. It's inductive. And that means that it's never certain. It's always empirical, you know, based on observation, which can be changed in different, you know, water bowls at 100 degrees at sea level, but on the mountain, it's a different thing. So, you know, it's all about understanding. And because it's inductive, all the facts are never in. All the science is never done.
That's why consensus is a bad word to call it.
All that the consensus is that when I test something to be talc and I send you the samples, you test it to be talc, Derek tests it to be talc, and then we all tend to believe that it's talc.
I mean, there's no set number of people of, okay, well, how many scientists do we need with what types of degrees to test it with talc? Because, you know, it gets sticky when two different people do get two different results and one of the groups says, well, where are the consensus?
The validity of a DC cell battery is pretty much universal at this point. We all know that a car battery works. And I think that's kind of what we at best are aiming at, is where a theory is perhaps universally accepted or universally tested and not found to be false. But, so let's go with that 100 degree boiling temperature. Soon as someone goes up on the mountain or goes to Mars and finds out that it's a different number wherever else, or that the car battery, the DC cell doesn't work here, then we can modify our theory and say DC cells work here, or, you know, water boils at this number at sea level.
And see, that's why it's so important that they include those types of studies alongside of things like that with the consensus. They have to say, like, oh, well, yeah, this is also in that category of talc and in the category of the batteries. We know this, you know, pretty much for a fact. And then, you know, time and time again, they've done that. And
we believe it strongly based on
that's all I really got.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and leave it there. I mean, I think it really is important just to kind of throw my final thought on there that we've covered this before. The world is sort of fracturing, you know, it's their experts and then quote unquote our experts, you know, and if you're somebody who wants to try to look at all the information, that to me is the big deal. You know, trust vaccines if you like them, don't trust them if you don't, but all the information should be available to people. It shouldn't be being deleted off the internet and hidden from people. We have to go use special websites, you know, to find the content that people want to see. It should be widely available. And we are at a point now where that's not happening. This information is being deleted. And I can say as a journalist, objectivism means basically calling the other side crazy. Objectivism isn't listening to what the other side says and hearing there and comparing that to what we believe is the consensus. It's basically, no, we don't have to report on both sides of the story because we know they're crazy, so they don't matter.